This project was called One Step at a Time Towards Better Health and Active Design in Affordable Housing. It's a public health nudge. No disclosures. So the background by now, 4 days at APHA, I'm sure you all know that there are a few health statistics available for residents in low-income affordable housing. And let's move this way. And that low SES is definitely correlated with higher rates of obesity and other chronic health conditions. The CDC, we just discussed adolescents and rural, so we're moving to adults and urban. So focus is on 150 minutes of moderate intensity aerobic, which is MPAs, and 75 minutes a week of vigorous aerobic physical activity. And again, we have low rates of achieving that. We have particular health disparities, though, in urban communities like New York City, where low-income and minority neighbors are not very likely to have physical activity facilities. They don't have recreation centers. Their parks may not be safe. They have sidewalks, but they really don't have places to ride their bikes and do other things. Therefore, the body mass index in an urban, though I was surprised to hear you said that it was lower, we always thought that the BMI increases as the number of PA facilities decrease, especially when we don't have access to outdoors. And the particular problem is the parents' perception of the surrounding adult environment and how it can influence their children's physical activity. This is New York City. The dark red is the higher percentage of obese adults. Our project, let's see if I can get this to work, is right here. This is the South Bronx. This is where our project is located. This is Staten Island, and this is Brooklyn. And if you want to look at obesity and diabetes, you go right back to the South Bronx, the larger circle, the largest, the prevalence of diabetes, and you can see how there's an overlay of obesity, diabetes, and other disparities of health. If you wanted to put asthma on this, asthma would overlay right on top of this, and if you wanted to put low SES, that also would overlay perfectly with the same neighborhoods. So the physical activity rates are declining. Everybody knows why. We're sedentary. We watch TV, the computer. The children are given 5 hours of homework a day. Our jobs require us to sit in front of computers. We take elevators and cars. It's kind of disappointing to see everybody riding the escalators at this conference. So we tend to do the least possible to get by. So we wanted to look at kind of basically a natural experiment and working with a housing developer who was putting up affordable housing in the South Bronx that incorporated active design strategies. And we wanted to see if people and families moving into these affordable housing would have any difference in their physical activity. Kind of, this is the public health nudge part. And we are comparing them to a similar apartment building about a mile away, similar population, a similar design, same builder was doing it. The only thing was that there were no active design strategies incorporated into that building. So this is Arbor House. One of the things you'll note when you walk in the front door, first thing you see is a green wall. That's actual vegetation. Of course, this was taken in the first week. I haven't been there in a few months. I hope it's all still alive. It was an eight floor unit in the South Bronx, and it's won a number of awards. But one of the things was not only was it platinum LEED, but it also had this innovation design for health credit. And so it was one of the first buildings ever, certainly the first one in New York City, to achieve this design for health credit. And what kind of active design strategies did it use? Well, number one was that every stairwell and every elevator, there's what we call point of decision signage, trying to encourage people not to take the elevators, to take the stairs and be more active. And I'll give you some examples in a few slides. The stairwells were really the big push. The stairwells in the Arbor House building were wider, they were brighter, they had murals on the wall from local artists, they had music piped in, jazz music, and most importantly, I think, is that the doors were glass. And it actually took a change in the fire code in New York City to be able to use fire doors that were glass rather than steel to try to, again, decrease the barriers towards using it and for safety. My favorite, of course, was the slowed elevators. Not only did the carriage go up and down slower, but the doors opened slower. So you really had, again, another public health nudge, waiting. Not only do you have to wait for the elevator, but then once you got in, it was quite slow. They had a community room, but in addition, they took the space and they divided it up to one half, and they put in an indoor exercise gym, and I'll show you a photo. It's really quite nice. But really uniquely was they took a backyard, which usually in New York City would be maybe cement, or dirt, and they put an outdoor fitness area. And this is an example of one of the different things. It was focused on physical, cardiovascular, as well as balance. There were some things geared to children, but most of the things were geared towards adults. This is again showing the indoor exercise room, and the polka dots on the back wall is actually a climbing wall designed for children. And then that's the aerial view of the outdoor exercise circuit. It's just starting to get planted and grown in, but you can see you can go round and round and all kinds of fun things. There's bikes, there's a jungle gym, and as well as other things to jump on and chin-up bars and things like that. And this is an example. What does this say? Physical activity will add years to your life and add life to your years. And this was these signs, every place a different one by every elevator. So this is just some more signs, I put this up because these are not the CDC approved ones, and these are not the New York City Department of Health ones, which were very are bland. And so some of the people love these. My favorite was always, I'm in shape, round is a shape, isn't it? So there was different reaction to these, but the point was made. So what did we do? This is a prospective cohort study. We try to engage participants in both Arbor House and Melrose House. The people who lived in these buildings, again, were selected by lotteries, the new New York Housing Authority. There were about 5,000 people who applied for each of these buildings. One had 64 units, one had 124. This was really coveted. They came in, they came to do their lease signing, our research assistants were there, and they did their, they agreed to participate, height, weight, waist circumference and hip circumference, and they did these long questionnaires on physical activity and added some questions on stair usage. In addition, we did some focus groups with participants in both houses. Just to show you, Arbor House and Melrose, at time one, that's our baseline, we had 34 who agreed to consent in Arbor and 29 in Melrose, but our retention rate was just a little over half. Anybody who's done any home-based research, this actually isn't so bad, but we of course like to improve upon that, and we did everything possible, short of harassing them, to try to get engage them for the time two, which is 1 year later, follow-up study. The demographics, mostly women were agreed to participate. We had a few men. The average age at Melrose, again, that's the non-active design building, was a little bit higher. The Arbor House females were a little younger, and then some of the women who did drop out from Arbor ended up pregnant. We had two women who got pregnant in the middle, thus it was a little difficult to look at height, weight, and even their physical activity as they progressed. So to the data, change in BMI, we looked at that. We know it's very hard to change BMI, so no change in BMI is actually a success. Both buildings did about the same. 80% had no change. But if you look to one level decline, we actually put everybody in normal weight, overweight, and obese. And you can see by looking over on the left that Arbor House participants had statistically significantly more people decline one level in their BMI versus Melrose, the green, all the way on the right, one level increase in their BMI. Again, remember, these are very small numbers. Change in waist to hip ratio, which is a better indicator of health and health outcome, it had no change at all. And it was not statistically significant, but again, both houses did decline a little, and both houses did increase a little bit, but we included it anyway. Change in stair use is really what our focus was, and if you look at the none column, about almost 80% of the people at baseline who lived in Arbor House before they moved in said they never went up a stair ever, and in the prior week. And if you look at the green, which is the follow-up 1 year later, you can see the push towards seven and more going up flights of stairs at home. Showing kind of the public health nudge toward the stairs are there, it's nice, the elevator is slow, why don't you take the stairs? When we looked at comparing Arbor House versus Melrose, again, statistically significant increase in the change. We had the people in Arbor House, we had almost 60% using the stairs and moving towards the stairs, where in Melrose it seems that they tended to decline. We also looked at physical activity, again T1 is baseline versus T2, and though this did not reach statistical significance, just please note Melrose at the bottom, absolutely no change whatsoever in the percentage of people who met either MPA or VPA, and that though in the change that we did have in Arbor, the numbers are very small, so it didn't achieve any kind of statistics, but the trend is definitely there. When we tried to take the males out, we took the males out because a number of them were quite buff, and when one came down to be recruited and consent to the study, they brought down a couple of friends with them. And we also know from physical activity the girls, adolescent girls, and women are really where our target audiences are. And again, women did achieve statistical significance in terms of meeting the moderate physical activity. Before, we only had one person, 6% of the study. 1 year later, we had 44% of the women who lived in Arbor House. And this is clearly indication of using the gym that was there, because we did ask specific questions about that, and using the stairs. I'm going to end with some quotes from the focus groups that we did in each of the homes. And it was very inspiring. The women who, mostly it was women who participated. We had 6 women in each building participated in the focus groups. And I was wondering, is it me, or am I just used to a faster elevator? Again, that was our first thought. Are they going to notice that the elevator is slow? First thing they said, it's because they want you to think about walking up the steps. The staircase plays music. You could think about just walking up the steps instead of always taking the elevator. Another person said, my son runs free and I let him. I don't have to worry so much because it's a closed area. Usually at the park I'm saying, where are you? Where are you? Here it's okay, go ahead and play. And just to note, a year prior to Arbor House opening, it's a beautiful park across the street with basketball courts. There was a big neighborhood party in the recreation area, and a gang warfare broke out, and a 4-year-old child was hit by a stray bullet. So parents, this is a really dangerous neighborhood. They don't want to let their kids, even if they're older children, to go play. And here it's enclosed. No one else is allowed access to this backyard except for the residents of the building. And lastly, I'm here, I'm in this beautiful building, I want to do something even better for myself. Now I want to eat better, now I want to exercise. That's the feeling that I got. It's a sense of the privilege they felt by moving into this building and its beauty. And you can see most of the buildings in New York City may have just straight iron grids over the windows. But look at these are very artistic, designed by a local artist to try to incorporate some of the ethnic feel of the neighborhood. So in conclusion, this is a pilot project. Obviously, we only had 63 people to start, and only 50, a little more than 50% conclude. But we did really think that the stair and the active design strategies did encourage the stair use, did encourage the gym use. A lot of people who paid money to go to a local gym said they dropped their gym membership to come and use the gym at their building, and they could bring their children there. We found very small decreases or no change in BMI, which again, we all know it's a multifactorial problem. Every little bit counts. We did see a really lovely improvement in women who were starting to exercise and thinking about exercising, which is important. Not much of a change in waist to hip, but we're hoping if this was on a larger scale and a little maybe some more interventions. There were some talk from the focus groups about wanting programming in the gym, that some of the equipment was there, but no one taught them how to use it. And we've worked with the developer and the City Department of Health about trying to see if we can find some kind of group, teachers coming in to work with when they move in, to work with each family on how to use the machines, and so they're not intimidated by them. And overall, it's just the overall feeling of well-being that the families felt by moving into this home that promoted health and wellness, and they got the message. We are, our next steps for us is we're trying to parlay this pilot project into a larger project, and not only with adults who have children, but also with some geriatric populations who have a whole different needs. And there's a lot of affordable housing across the United States that focuses just on older people, which is really not so old. Some of them are 55 or 60. Anyway, so special thanks. I don't think that's old anymore. You know, this project was not funded by anybody. We had a little bit of money from the Mount Sinai Children's Environmental Fund for incentives for all of the people who lived in these two different buildings, but we had a massive of research assistance, and I want to thank all the co-investigators and the statisticians, everybody who donated their time to this project. Thank you.
Thank you.